You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Well, Bruce is going to read us our passage for today, and before he reads it to us, let me just say that I had the privilege this last year of helping out with the planning team. So about a year ago, going over to L.A. and meeting with other clergy and other folks that are involved with staff with the Sierra Service Project to pick out a verse that was going to be the theme verse for all of the sites, and also, you know, develop some of the daily kind of devotionals, which everybody took part in across the entire project. And this was one of those passages that I think served us amazingly well. This particular version is from The Message, but it really grasps at, and I think it states what we were on about in a variety of different places. It's short and sweet. It's from Proverbs. And again, a lot of people, or sometimes your Bible will actually say that it is authored by Solomon because he was so wise. But what we know now is finding ancient documents that we find these proverbs that are in Egypt. We find these proverbs that are in Babylon. We find these proverbs all over the place that the Jewish writers that wrote Proverbs, that collected everything, were not picky about where they came from insofar as they said something important about the human condition and how we are supposed to live together. And so Proverbs are not just the wisdom of Judaism, but the wisdom from humanity at the time. And I think that this particular passage today, Proverbs 31, is one that captures an important part of what it means for us to live together. So, Bruce, hit it.
Speak up for the people who have no voice, for the rights of all the down and outers. Speak out for justice. Stand up for the poor and destitute.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
I'm Cecilia O'Brien. I'm the new youth coordinator, and the youth are going to put on a little skit. First, we're going to watch a PowerPoint, and I took the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan, and we're going to see it in two different ways. The first way, Emily's going to help us out, and she's going to, if you go ahead and take a look at the screen, and we'll start with that.
One day, a Jew was going on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho. The road to Jericho was dangerous. Soon, bandits were close behind. The bandits beat the traveler and took her valuables. The bandits left the traveler for dead. By chance, a Jewish priest came along, and when he saw the person lying there, he crossed on the other side of the road and passed her by. Then, Jewish temple assistant walked over and looked at her lying there, but then went on. But a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the traveler, he felt deep pity. Then he put the traveler on his donkey and walked along beside him till they came to an inn where he nursed her through the night.
That's kind of the version that we grew up with and we knew. And it was interesting when I asked the youth about this story, and I was expecting them to give me, you know, the old story. You know, you have to be good. If you see someone on the side of the road, you have to help them. But our youth here at the Fountains are very wise, and they see that that when Jesus told parables, he did it in ways to make us think, and it's not always what's on the surface that Jesus had in mind as he's when he was telling these parables. So we're going to start our next version. And one day, a fashion traveler was on her way to Jericho. And suddenly, two fashionistas saw her and all her wonderful valuables, and they wanted the things that she had. So they went over and took her things. And they grabbed her shoes leaving her with nothing to walk on the hard and gravelly ground. Soon, a doctor on his way to do surgery was walking by. He noticed the poor girl with her shoeless feet and just walked on by. Suddenly, a priest came by, engrossed in his scriptures. Looking down, he noticed the poor girl, but did nothing. Then, a stranger from Samaria, that rough part of town, he noticed the poor girl and took pity on her. Oh no, she has no shoes. So he went, and he wasn't sure if she could walk. So he went and he picked up her shoes. She put them on. He helped her get into her vehicle and took her to the mall where she could buy new things. And that is the end of our story. And the point of the story that I wanted to make and the youth wanted to make is we noticed that Lucas, in our pictures, he was like the big, strong man who helped that Samaritan who helped the poor, suffering victim. And then in our version, he was kind of like, you know, this kind of thug kid who you don't expect to have compassion. And I know sometimes especially when I've been on mission trips, what I take away most is not the things that I've done. Oh, I helped someone paint, and look, I finished making a porch. It's really the relationships. And I've learned so much from those people who I've learned from their circumstances in life, and that's made me so much richer. And thank you.
So we're going to watch a brief review of our trip to L.A. So if you'll look at the screen, we've got a little slideshow that gives you some background on what we did.
You rolling? Okay, here we go. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I can change the world with my own two hands, make a better place with my own two hands, make a kinder place.
So that bring back some memories? Okay, so those of you that were on the work team, if you guys want to come on up and sit here on the top step, and Em has the microphone. We've got a couple of kids that are out of town. Kinley is actually a drum major at Sandra Day O'Connor High School, and they're marching in, I don't know, some parade in California. Yeah, not in France, no. It's like the big parade. What is that big parade? Rose Bowl, yeah, something like that. So anyway, so Kinley is the drum major of that band, so that's pretty cool. So we've got other kids that are out of town and everything. So here are four of our great folks. I want to say a special big thanks to Bruce, who almost was not with us this year, but at the last minute we had an opening, and I called him up literally a day before.
Day before, day after, I
That's right. So you were, you know, just right. And so I said, how about going on this thing? And you were like, I'm in. So we're really glad that you came. Just going to ask these guys to reflect a little bit about the trip. One of the things that, while you're thinking about that, I just wanted to think you guys to think about one of the things you're going to remember most about the trip and how it affected the way you look at the world. So you be thinking about that. One of the things that, for me, was you might have seen in the slideshow that there were lots of kids helping cook and just do stuff around the place where we were staying. And one of the really kind of subtle things that happens at Sierra Service Project is we enter into intentional community with one another for a week. And there's a big chart that has, you know, who's cleaning up the bathrooms, who is helping to prep the meal, who's helping to clean up with the meal, who's taking care of all these different elements. And so the kids work together not only out in the community, but also taking care of one another. And, you know, you really, you know, some of the kids, you see the light bulb go on when they're cleaning plates and things like that. And they look at their friends not doing a really good job cleaning plates, and they're going, hey, I have to eat off that tomorrow, you know, so you better do a better job. I mean, I don't know if you notice any of that. So, but the kids all of a sudden had, a greater sense of community. And that was one of the things that is a quiet, almost intangible thing that goes on during the week. So what do you all think? Who wants to jump in first there?
A lot of people think that South Central is a terrible place, but even 2 years ago, I'd never heard that before. So then I'm being told, like, South Central's really sketchy. And I'm like, okay. And then I still haven't found any proof for that yet. It's been a really nice area. I mean, sure, someone got hit in a car accident this year. But, I mean, that happens. There haven't been any, like, gunfights in the streets or anything like you'd expect from a gang. So it's been fairly nice as long as I've been there.
What's something that you're going to remember about the way you're going to live your life differently?
Well,
what left a big impression?
The staff working there. They were there for most of the time. Most of them were for all the time there. And they're being paid not that much at all, but they're doing it out of the kindness of their hearts more so than money. And so that's probably what left one of the bigger impacts.
Spoken as a future staff member at SSP. Who else?
Hey, I'd say, what was the question again?
I can always count on you, Em. What are you going to remember most, other than the question?
Okay, so, like, this year was my second year, like, with Bruce, and I guess I'd say the thing that I'll remember most is working in dirt, and like, literal, and then metaphorically, I'd say working in dirt, because when you go there, and I'd say it was, like, the second night that we were in. No, wait, it was, like, the fourth night when we went to Skid Row and we drove through. Yeah. That is like, the dirt. And then when we sat down, and Robbie Fredrickson, the big bearded tattooed man, he led us in some deep conversation. And right behind us, there was a homeless, mentally unstable man. And I remember that I'll probably always take that with me. And I'll always remember the fact that he was there. And Robbie went to go sit next to him. Mm-hmm. And then I'll remember the next day waking up and going to a garden and seeing all of these super bright, wonderful colors and thinking about the night before and just the flip-flop of how different that was, how all of a sudden you can go from being stuck in the mud to all of a sudden being, like, blooming like a cabbage or something. Yeah. So that was, yeah.
All right, so the thing that I remember most is probably Skid Row 2, because we went to this really nice park, I think, in the middle. And it was a really good park. I mean, there were, like, walls there engraved with quotes, and there was this nice pond-like place. And on all of the places where you could sit down, there were these, like, armrest things. And I thought, oh, they're armrests. That's pretty cool. But then my leader told me that they were actually to keep people from sleeping there so that they could not lie down and go to sleep there. And that was... really, that was actually really weird to realize, because it seemed almost hostile, but yeah, that, yes, like Bruce said, kind of passive-aggressive. And also the screaming guy there, too, was really hard to be near, because, like, we couldn't do anything just then. So... and I mean, I would say more, but then I'd start crying. That's,
that was a tough night.
Nobody wants to see a 6'3" guy crying. So.
But that was a tough night for all of us. And the guy was coming down off of drugs and was probably mentally ill. And so, you know, here our leaders were reading these quotes like Bruce read to us about, stand up and speak out for the dispossessed. And right behind us we had this guy literally rolling on the ground, screaming in pain.
Like, besides it being like really like sad, it was really scary, because like we don't know what's wrong with him. We don't know if it's drugs or if it's mental problems, so it's like sad to just not be able to do anything and just watch it happen, because you can't do anything. So
that was one of the struggles that we all had that night about, you know, the wanting to do something but really not knowing what. And I think a lot of people left that night determined to figure out what they could do.
Well, that night, Emily and I stayed up really late talking about it. Like, really, really late. Everyone else was asleep, and we just kind of sat there talking. And it's really intense. So I'll take that with me, definitely. And then I'll take, my group. I got really close to a girl in my group, and she's like my best friend now. And she lives in California, and currently she has a heart condition, and she's gonna have to go into surgery for it. And there's a very good chance that she's not gonna wake up from it. And she's also currently going in a downward spiral because of this. And being very self-abusive and thinking very negative thoughts about herself. And it's not a good situation. And when we were at SSP, she had a...
Heart episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was very scary. And then ever since then, it's been like a downward spiral. So I don't know what you want to add on to that.
That's probably good.
Yeah.
But I mean, when we go to SSP, we make really good friends. And they're friends that, as Marissa can attest, are folks that even though we're far away from one another, that the experiences that we've had, even in that short amount of time, really bond us. And so it's a great trip. So I want to say thank you to these folks for their giving of their time. We've had people, you know, in the street stop our groups and say, so, you know, are these kids, what, you know, what do these kids do that they're having to do this community service, you know? Right? And they're like, no, we actually paid to come do this. You know, it's like, what? So... So let's just, what I'd like to do is just mention the other people that are not here. We've already mentioned
Kinley.
Kinley's not here.
Jordan and Connor Wodinski.
Jordan, Rachel, Connor,
and Alex.
So these are all great folks. And what I'd like to do just is to adopt one of the traditions that we learned from Anaheim United Methodist Church. One of the things that they do every year, I'd like you all to stand, please. And every year, the graduates receive one tool that is marked with the year of their service, so that if they do all 4 years, and if we get going with junior high here, they can do it, 7 years, but at least with the high school, if they do all the years, that they'll have a nice little set of tools for them to take into the real world and go on to other teams. So, so ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to give it up for Bruce the Boxer Ferguson, right? Why are you the boxer? Because the boxer spent his whole week working on garden boxes, right? And the way this is being kind of projected into the world is, tell them about what you're thinking about for your Eagle project. Pass that microphone down right there.
My Eagle project that I'm trying to coordinate currently with the church trustees is to make our own community garden here at the church for my Eagle project. So, I'm trying to...
So, ladies and gentlemen, Bruce the Boxer Ferguson. I haven't come up with a nickname for Nat. What would you guys think? Nat the...
Nat the Napper.
I don't like that. He only fell asleep behind a dumpster once. So.
That's because that was the only shady spot.
Okay, so.
It was great.
Nat. Come on, I told stories. Nat Slim Shady Felton. There you go.
I told stories.
Okay. Oh, and Marissa was on my team. I had a great time getting to know her. And we had to scrape up all... What's that tile called that you glue to the floor? What's that? Yeah, that horrible squares, yeah, with the adhesive. And we had to scrape that all up to make for room for the next one, when later we decided we should have just put the new floor over the top. Oh, my gosh. So you do not want to get in between this woman and whatever object she is about to beat to death with a hammer. So, I don't know, maybe Marissa the Slammer Diamond. So there you go. Oh, and I have no idea for Emily. What would be a good one for Emily? The Talker? Emily the Talker Paul. There you go. Let's hear it for our... Everybody give us a good hammer so Dee Dee can get a picture. Yeah, excellent, excellent. All right, come on down and have a seat.
Hammer fight.
No, get away.
All right. Well, one of the things that we don't have time to do now is I wanted you to look at this MLK Jr. slide. It goes with our theme of wanting to make sure that we are not silent. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. And if you can see Bruce and Nat, if you'll stand up and show us the back of your shirts, this was the official T-shirt for the trip, and it was all about speak up and speak out. So I just want to send that out with you as kind of a stream of thought for today, is what are the things that matter most in your circle of influence and your understanding? What are the things that are kind of percolating that you cannot be silent about anymore? And maybe look into 2015 as a time when you can intentionally nurture your voice and your action in standing up and speaking out so that our lives don't begin to end from silence.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.